Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Obviously, would you read with me the title of today's sermon, Rock of Ages, based on Psalm 31, verse 3, which reads, O Lord, you are my rock and my fortress. For the sake of your name, lead and guide me. We continue our sermon series on hymns that preach with a look at one of the most popular hymns in the English language, Rock of Ages. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, this is one of those hymns I sang to my mother time and time again in those days in the hospital, just as the Lord would take her home. Sometimes, good things come out of conflict. This hymn is an example of that. I'll explain in just a little bit. The writer of this hymn was a man named Augustus Toplady, born in 1740 in England, and after his father died in the military, he and his mother moved to Ireland. Good choice. At the age of 12, he began preaching. At the age of 14, he began writing hymns. At the age of 16, in a revival service in a country barn, he felt the call of God to study for the ministry, and that's what he did. And at age 22, he was ordained in the Church of England as a pastor. One day, as a young pastor, he was taking a walk in the countryside, and a severe thunderstorm hit, and he found an immense granite rock that had a cleft in the side in which he hid himself during the storm. It was there that thoughts of Jesus as a sheltering rock came to mind, and soon he thought about Psalm 31, you are my rock and my fortress, and very quickly he went home and wrote the entire hymn, Rock of Ages. The overall theme of this hymn, and I invite you as you go home today, look at this hymn again. The overall theme of this hymn is our utter helplessness in trying to pay for or atone for our own sins. It's also a call to faith in Jesus Christ alone, who died on the cross to pay for our sins. And this is where the earlier mentioned conflict comes in. Pastor Augustus Toplady was in a very public conflict in the media of the day with other pastors and theologians. He would not back down confronting these men he considered to be false teachers, and they were. These were teachers that emphasized that a person had to work together with God for their salvation, that God's grace was not enough. They stressed God's grace, but ever more the importance of man's fervent striving and heartfelt in cooperation. Soon, assurance of forgiveness and assurance of salvation was focused on man's efforts and not God's gift of grace. Now, soon we're going to examine briefly each of these four verses. And if you'll notice, every single verse addresses this point of conflict and gives all credit to God's grace and not to our efforts. The conflict out of which this hymn was written was this. Where do you find your assurance of your relationship with God? In your efforts or in His grace? It's a good question for us today. Augustus Toplady died quite young at the age of 37 in 1778. And in what seems to be a last, almost humorous act of defiance, he arranged to be buried in the church cemetery of one of his theological opponents, making sure that Rock of Ages was on his headstone. He was declaring, even in his death, that what really counts is to trust Jesus, the Rock of Ages, and not one's own goodness or efforts. Let's look at this hymn now and its biblical background. Verse 1, You probably know it by heart. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be for sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. This hymn calls Jesus the Rock of Ages. He is the steadfast rock upon whom we can depend and stand. We do not depend on our own goodness, our own efforts, on the strength of our own faith. We depend on Him. Here, Toplady was addressing the false teaching of his day. And maybe you don't know it, but every once in a while in this congregation, we sing a particular modern hymn that addresses the same issue led by our In Christ group. The song is entitled, In Christ Alone. Psalm 31 says that Jesus is my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells a parable of the wise and the foolish builders, some who built their house on rock and some on sand. Jesus here says not to build our houses on the shifting sands of man's efforts or goodness. Listen to what he says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. Toplady's hymn declares, Jesus, our rock of ages, let me hide myself in thee. It's a prayer. It's a prayer that in any storm we face, we might find true strength and assurance in Jesus Christ. His blood shed on the cross, says verse 1, is of sin the double cure. That is, it's the real cure for sin and death. Not our faith, not our efforts. Verse 2 continues. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Let me get very personal right now, and if you're dozing off for a moment, now's the time to really wake it up. When you lay your head on your pillow at night, and you think about your life, when you consider your heartaches and your mistakes, when sorrow for the past or anxiety of the future fills your heart, where do you turn? You really only have two choices: your efforts or God's mercy. In this verse 2, Toplady pulls no punches. He says very clearly, not the labors of my hands. I and you can never do enough to fix all that needs to be fixed in our lives. He goes on, could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? He says that our tears and our zeal in trying harder and harder brings us no respite, no peace. But now in this verse comes the good news. Thou must save, and thou alone. O dear Lord Jesus, you are my Savior, my Rock of Ages. And now, ta-da, here comes the sentence of sentences in this hymn. The center of all biblical teachings, the foundation of Martin Luther's Reformation of the church of his day, the foundation upon which we build our church this day, the reason you and I can lay our heads in our pillows at night knowing there is hope for tomorrow and for all eternity, and the hymn phrase that I quote again and again and again in any Bible class you've ever been in with me. My number one hymn phrase of all hymns ever written. Here it comes. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. I say it again. Nothing in my hand I bring. simply to thy cross I cling. Will you say it with me? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Here is the epicenter of the conflict Pastor Augustus Toplady had with theologians of his day. Here is the epicenter of the conflict Martin Luther had with the church hierarchy of his day. Here is the epicenter of the conflict the devil wants to create in your heart and mine today. What gives me my true worth? What is the solution for my sins? What gives me strength in tragedy? What gives me reason to get up every morning? How do I get right with Almighty God? What hope do I have at the moment of my death? Where is my assurance for all eternity? Again, there are only two options. My efforts or God's grace. Martin Luther once said, when you boil it all down, now listen carefully to this quote from Luther. When you boil it all down, Luther said, there really are only two religions in the entire world, works or faith. Another way of saying my efforts or God's grace. Thank God that we sinners can depend fully on God's grace. Thank God that we can say both with a humble and joyful heart, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. St. Paul put it this way in Galatians 6, verse 14, but may it never be that I boast except in the cross of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the fourth and final verse of this hymn, we're really moving today, aren't we? I've been saving up. In the fourth and final verse of this hymn, listen to what we're told. And these are the words I sang to my mama as I stroked her precious forehead. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyelids close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus, your rock was cleft or broken on Calvary's cross. He was broken for you and your salvation, but he broke death and he crushed death. He also broke and crushed the power of sin and the devil, and he is alive forevermore, and all that he has done for you. And as we by faith stand upon Jesus, the rock of ages, we can look forward to that day of resurrection. We can join Job in saying what he said in chapter 19 of his book. I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand upon the earth, and even after my skin is destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see my God. So as we've seen again and again and again, every verse of this hymn born out of conflict points us to the sure and certain hope we have in Christ our Savior and not our paltry good deeds and good lives. We are reminded of what St. Paul says in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9. I heard these words prayed on Thursday night past as a number of us gathered for our first prayer meeting. It was a glorious night. I sat right in front of Mr. McKenzie. As Everett prayed these words, these words summarize this entire hymn. St. Paul says in Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not by works, so nobody can boast. Augustus Toplady's hymn, Rock of Ages, declares that in the conflict between God's grace and man's efforts, God's grace will always prevail. This truth is addressed by this closing humorous story. It's about a duck little boy was visiting his grandparents, and he was given his first slingshot he ever owned. How many of you have ever shot a slingshot? Oh, I had them when I was little. He tried again and again to put a rock in the elastic and shoot, but he never could hit anything. But one day in Grandma's backyard, he spied her pet duck. Without thinking, he took aim, let the slingshot fly, and for goodness sakes, the rock hit the duck and the duck fell dead. The boy panicked. He quickly hid the duck in some bushes, only to look up and see his bigger sister Sally watching the whole thing. At lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, please wash the dishes and clean up the kitchen." But Sally said, "Oh, Johnny said he wants to help in the kitchen. Didn't you, Johnny?" And then she whispered, "Remember the duck." So Johnny did all the dishes and clean up. Don't try this at home. Later, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing with him. Grandma said one could go, but she needed one to help her in the vegetable garden. Again, Sally smiled and said, "No problem. Johnny wants to work in the garden." And again, she whispered to him, "Remember the duck." Johnny stayed when Sally went fishing. After several days of this, Johnny couldn't take any more of it. He confessed to his grandma that he'd killed the duck. And Grandma said, as she gave him a hug, "I know, Johnny. I saw everything from the kitchen window. Because I love you, I forgive you. You never have to earn my love by your hard work. I wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave out of you." My friends, in Jesus, our Rock of Ages, we are freed from the slavery of our efforts and good works to earn God's love and forgiveness. In Jesus, our Rock of Ages, God's grace will always prevail. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.